Welcome to The Real News. I'm Jessel Knorr in Baltimore. Thousands in Minneapolis, Minnesota protested outside as President Donald Trump used a campaign rally to promote conspiracy theories and blast the impeachment inquiry against him as a brazen attempt by Democrats to overthrow him, vowing the attempt to remove him from office would backfire. Here's a clip.
The Democrats' brazen attempt to overthrow our government will produce a backlash at the ballot box, the likes of which they have never, ever seen before in the history of this country.
Trump also attacked Minnesota Rep. Ilhan Omar and Minnesota's Somali refugee community, one of the largest in the nation. Here's another clip.
Congresswoman Omar is an America-hating socialist. She minimized the September 11th attack on our homeland. Where far more than 3,000 people died, saying some people did something, big deal, some people did something. She pleaded for compassion for ISIS recruits right here in Minnesota. Omar laughed. That Americans speak of Al-Qaeda. You remember that tape? Speak of Al-Qaeda.
Just about all of what you heard are lies. The rally comes as Democrats' impeachment probe against Trump is gaining support in the polls. Trump, of course, built his campaign on fueling anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim bigotry. Just last year, three Trump supporters were found guilty of plotting a terror attack against Somali refugees. Well, now joining us to discuss all of this are two guests. Joe Lowndes is an expert on social movements, the GOP, race, and elections. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Oregon. And welcome back to Dr. Gerald Horn, the John Jay and Rebecca Morse Chair of History and African American Studies at the University of Houston, and author of many, many books. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So let's start with you, Professor Horn. Trump again lashed out at Democrats, singled out Rep. Ilhan Omar and her Somali American community. I want to play one more clip.
For many years, leaders in Washington brought large numbers of refugees to your state from Somalia without considering the impact on schools and communities and taxpayers. I promise you that as president, I would give local communities a greater say in refugee policy and put in place enhanced vetting and responsible immigration controls.
So, Dr. Horn, nothing we haven't already heard before. What's your response to Trump's speech yesterday?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that there is a specific attack on Congresswoman Omar, who is despised by the Israeli lobby, which is one of Mr. Trump's major supporters. I'm afraid to say that Congresswoman Omar checks a number of boxes in terms of being an object of attack. She's a woman. She's of African origin from one of these so-called S-hole countries. She's a Muslim, and she's an immigrant. Now, with regard to Somalia, I think Mr. Trump would be well advised to brush up on his history. Some of us recall that in the 1970s, Somalia had a government and a regime that, albeit was nationalist, but was at least operative. But then the U.S. agencies in Washington helped to induce that particular regime to engage in a disastrous attack on neighboring Ethiopia over the Ogaden. And that led to a downward spiral of Somalia, leading to a non-functioning government, what oftentimes has been referred to as a failed state, and the rise of a group called Al-Shabaab, which the United States steadily bombs, creating refugees, some of whom wind up in Minnesota. Now, I assume that that story is too complicated to recount to that audience of adoring Trump lovers. But I dare say that if we are to dig ourselves out of this hole in which we find ourselves, that is to say, burdened by the burdensome nature of this 45th U.S. president, we will have to recount this history.
And Professor Lowndes, I mentioned the three Trump supporters convicted of plotting a 2017 terror attack against Somali refugees. And we know that Rep. Omar, she gets death threats whenever Trump singles her out. Talk mm-hmm. about the people in the audience, the people that are eating up this rhetoric, and what it means to them.
Well, you know, as Professor Horn said, Representative Omar checks a lot of boxes already in terms of the kind of demonization that Donald Trump engages in. But he has been really focused on, he and Stephen Miller, his advisor, also his immigration advisor, on Somalia. They've been really fixated for years. There's a new book by, I think her name is Davidson Shear, on called something like Trump's Border Wars. And there, Somalia is something that sticks out and sticks in Trump's craw, particularly around issues of Islamic militancy, you know, and other things, which is partly, I think, what drives, you know, this in the social violence that we see. But the other thing is that within Minneapolis itself, the Somali community has been a really dynamic, vibrant force in the working class of both Minneapolis and St. Paul. They've been deeply involved leaders in this movement against the protests around the Amazon major shipping centers and Shakopee and these and other suburban areas of Minneapolis. And they've also were key to struggles of unionized janitors in Minneapolis. So there's a way in which Somalis play a key role in terms of labor struggles in Minneapolis, which probably appeals to some local Republican leaders as well there.
And Dr. Horn, Trump has been framing the impeachment as a coup, as illegitimate. He has vowed to not abide by the subpoenas, and a court today ruled that he has to disclose some of his financial information. Talk about where this country is headed in your view.
Well, it does not look good. A recent op-ed in the New York Times suggested that the United States is in the midst of a constitutional crisis, insofar as the 45th U.S. president has sworn that he will not cooperate with this impeachment inquiry. And he left an out that suggested that if there was a vote in the House to authorize this inquiry, he might cooperate. But I don't see that coming around the bend. I think it's important to recognize as well that this is a very complicated political moment for progressive forces, because despite all of Mr. Trump's crimes and transgressions since November 2016 and before, it's striking to note that what prompted Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, to push the impeachment button was the fact that a dime was dropped on Mr. Trump by a CIA whistleblower. It's no secret that the national security hawks are upset with Mr. Trump. They are upset with him because he sacked Uber Hawk National Security Advisor John Bolton. He trashes the legacy of hawkish late Senator John McCain. He refused to bomb Iran, despite the fact that Iran was accused of attacking a Saudi oil facility. He's apparently in the midst of withdrawing U.S. forces, uninvited, by the way, from Syria, which has outraged Senator Lindsey Graham, one of the main spokespersons for the national security establishment and the hawks. And the hawks might have concluded that they would have an easier way and an easier sway if the Democrats were come to power in light of what happened in 2011, with the Democrats folding like a cheap suit over the bombing of Libya and the murder of Muammar Gaddafi. This is what makes this current moment so complicated.
And Professor Lowndes, the Oath Keepers were out in force. They promised to protect Donald Trump outside of that rally. But reports say that they were outnumbered by the thousands by local activists that showed up, including members of the Somali community that you mentioned. And I was reading some reports that, you know, the Oath Keepers, they're itching for armed conflict in this country. Who are they? And a little bit of this movement is sort of coalescing around Trump, sort of as a messiah figure. And it's, you know, Trump or nothing for them.
Yeah, so the Oath Keepers are part of kind of a broader movement of this militia movement, which goes back to the 1990s, where various organizations, among them today, the Three Percenters and a few others, but they see themselves as kind of armed paramilitary guardians of the American nation against the state. So it's you know, the Oath Keepers in particular are driven by a set of conspiracy theories about government authoritarianism that they see encroaching on the rights of everyday Americans. And so they continually feed this in their own recruiting. And what's interesting, though, is that, you know, these groups have been around for a while, and they grew under the Obama administration. There are more and more of these paramilitary groups and more members of them. But really, what's happened during the Trump years is that you see more kind of connection between local and state Republican parties and these paramilitary groups than ever before. In fact, those kind of connections were not official connections at all before. But now you see kind of a strange comfort that Republicans take in working with these paramilitary groups, which is really, that's where things start to smack of, you know, proto-fascism. Here in Oregon, it's been the case for a couple of years. I mean, there's lots of militia groups out here in Oregon, but you've had Oath Keepers and this group I mentioned before, 3%ers, protecting, either being hired as security by Republicans for Republican events in the state, working closely with Republicans in Eastern Washington, or in a case here during the summer where Republican state legislators crossed the state line so they wouldn't have to vote on a climate bill, the militia members claimed that they were going to protect them in armed conflicts with the state police if necessary. And they put out tweets to this effect, which then were retweeted by Republican party members. So that, I think, partly the issue here is the way in which the line is being crossed between kind of official party politics and these paramilitary armed organizations. And so that's, you know, what we saw yesterday in Minneapolis. I thought this had just been kind of existing in the Pacific Northwest, but clearly other Republicans are willing to move that far to the right, that they see this as a legitimate kind of thing to have a private armed security force act in this way.
Well, we're going to keep certainly following all of these threads as this story continues to develop. And, you know, over the course of the next year, we, you know, can only expect to see more of this rhetoric, more of these actions, more armed protesters in the streets. Joe Lowndes, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Oregon, and Dr. Gerald Horn, John Jay and Rebecca Morse, Chair of History and African American Studies at the University of Houston. Thank you both for sharing your expertise. Thank you for joining
us. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining us at The Real News Network.
Hey, y'all. My name is Tharna Noor, and I'm a climate crisis reporter here at The Real News Network. This is a crucial moment for humanity and for the planet. So if you like what we do, please, please support us by subscribing at the link below. Thank you.